fathers tonight, but I might say a few things about us. I think we ought to have some things said about us. And we all need to have some things said about us. Kind of stir us up just a little bit. A lot of folks get kind of upset and angry when you start trying to preach to them a little bit, but I want to try to preach something tonight. I'll be honest with you. God changed my thoughts this morning on what to preach tonight. And I sat and done a little studying this morning. I was already ready for the morning hour, and I sat and tried to do a little studying. And by the time I got to where I needed to be, it was time to come to church. And I thought, well, I'll finish it up this evening. And I went home, and Brother Nolan and the folks went home with us. And when they left, why, Tammy called, and then Doug and Lisa and the kids come in. And I'll be honest, I don't have much except the main outline. But I've got it written down, and if God will help me, I'm going to give you 5 or 6, maybe 7 thoughts tonight. We're going to the house. It's already 7:30, and I promise I won't keep you past midnight. I'll try my best to get you out sometime before midnight tonight. And if I don't, why, somebody go down to Jerry's or somewhere and buy me a hamburger and feed me a little something and give me a little nourishment, and we'll preach a little longer. Amen. Preaching's good. Instant in season, out of season, and preaching is always in season. It's never out of season. It's always right to preach the Bible. Mark that down. It's always right. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to the book of Psalms in chapter 71. That's where we were last week, I think. And we're going back there again tonight. Psalm number 71 in the Word of God. And when you find that chapter, let's stand and we'll read our text together this evening. Psalm number 71, and I want to begin reading in verse number 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. David said, when I was young, Lord, you taught me, and I tried to be a witness for you. And because I have served you, when I am old, I'm going to ask you to serve me in a greater capacity. When I'm old and gray-headed, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. David wasn't selfish. He said, just keep me going till I can show thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Please pray and help me tonight. I'm honest, I've got such a feeble little old stuff, a few things written down here, and if God don't help me, I'll not preach but a few minutes. And I want to preach. I'm just being honest. I'm a preacher and I want to preach. I want to give you the thought. If I can get the thought conveyed to your heart that He's laid upon mine, especially to some of you young families that's in here, I think it'll work wonders in your life. So let's pray. Father, we thank You now for the privilege we have to stand and preach the Word of God. And Lord, I realize without Your power and Your grace and Your help, without, Lord, the Spirit's work in my soul, that there will be no preaching in this place tonight. I pray that You'll help me to say some things by way of instruction to Your people that will be a blessing to them. I pray that You'll move their hearts for God tonight. May the Holy Spirit come upon them in an unusual way. Lord, that they'll make commitments, fresh commitments to Christ concerning their life. And Lord, that they'll live by those commitments and those convictions that you've given them. I do pray for the harvest of souls, the salvation of sinners, and for the glory to be given to Thee. I pray that you'll give me the power and the liberty tonight to help me to think. And if you don't feed my thoughts, there will be very little said. I pray that you'll do it to the honor and the glory of our Lord Jesus. And I'll thank you for it in His name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. David said in verse number 18, and I may just talk to you a while tonight, but David said in verse number 18, "Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not." Now, I want to try to preach for a little while tonight on the old man's retrospect. I don't think that I'm really an old man. By biblical terms, I may be an old man by some of your thoughts, but I don't consider myself especially to be an old man. But when David wrote this psalm, he was well in his years. He was a gray-headed gentleman. And when he wrote this psalm, he was looking back over his life in retrospect. He was examining his life and looking back over it at the developments in it, the ways that he had conducted himself. He was looking at the mountaintop experiences as well as the valleys that he had been in. And so he's here looking in retrospect. He's a man of old age. And he stands and looks back at the life he has built. There's the thought that I want to get across to you tonight. David is looking at the life that he has built. Folks, life is a school and experience is the teacher. And I'm here to tell you that in our life, we ought to have desires to build a life that when that life closes, we can look back over it with great admiration and thankfulness in our heart that God has blessed us and helped us to walk in such a way that we can leave an example behind for those that should follow in our footprints. If there's one thing our society needs today, it is a godly man that we can look back to when we're old in great admiration, and thank God that He gave us a man that set an example before us. Before I go any further, I want to say, Daddy, you ought to be that example to your family. Brother, when it comes time for you to rest your old body in the grave and your soul to go on and be with Jesus, you ought to have lived your life and built a life of godly character to the point, my friend, that your children can look to that life and follow the example that you followed. And if they do, they'll come out in the same place you have in your life, which is at the very throne of Almighty God. Now, real Christian life, I want you to listen now, it does not just happen. You're not going to be able to wave a magic wand and build a Christian life. There's no way. It's going to have to be labored at. It takes labor to build anything, and it is going to take labor to build your life. Now, I want to put this in right here. Some of us tonight may be too old to start building. That's right. Some of us may be beyond the years of being able to build a life. But I won't say this. While we're yet alive, we can still put a little polish on the finished product. Amen. We have not arrived yet. My life, for the most part, I've lived. What Pilate said, about the inscription over the body of Jesus, what I have written, I have written. And my friend, what I have written in life, I've written. I can't go back and change a thing. But I'm going to tell you, I can, from this point out, polish up the finished product just a little bit and cause it to shine just a little bit more with a little better glitter in the eyes of those that God has placed me before to be an example to all the flock of God. Now, I know that's right now. Now, you just stay right with me, and I'll try to help us a little bit. We're not too old to put polish on the finished product. But many of the families in our church are young. And you've got a bright future ahead of you. That's right. And my suggestion to you that would be to start building right now. Amen. In fact, where you are, wherever you may be in your life, start now to build. And when you're old like David, you too can look back over your life with great admiration. David said, I was a young man when God began to teach me. I am now an old man and full of gray hairs. David said, I'm looking back over my life. And he said, I have been a man after God's own heart. I want to ask you to something tonight. Are you a man after God's own heart? My friend, if we're not, we're falling short. We're falling short of the life that God wants us to live to His honor and glory. And by the way, you'll never learn to live your life until you lose your life. You're going to have to lose your life, my friend, to find the life that God wants you to live in Christ. Amen. I know that's right. Now, David looks back over his life. He examines his life. And by the way, he goes back to the very beginning. He examines it from the past to the present. Amen to God. And that is the right way to do it. Never start looking from what you are now to what you used to be. I'm going to tell you why. It'll leave you in a desolate situation if you go all the way back to what you used to be. But I'm going to tell you, I can go to the past and bring my life up to the present, and it'll just about make me want to run my head through a wall. Well, yes, when I consider where I was when God found me, my friend, I want to go all the way back to there and start examining my life in retrospect up to where it is now. And I'll assure you, if you'll do that, it will put praise in your mouth. Amen unto the God that loved you and gave Himself for you. Those ladies with Brother Nolan today wanted to look in the house, and I took them in my bedroom, back there in the bathroom. Some of you have been there and some of you haven't. But I told those ladies, I said, my, what God's done for me. As a boy growing up, living in a little old four-room shack. It's the best mom and daddy had, but it was a four-room shack. But you could take that four-room shack and put it in my bedroom in the bathroom of my house that I'm now living in. Now, I'm not going to look from that house back to the shack. Right. Now, I'm afraid that's what a whole lot of folks are always doing. Yeah. They're looking from this back to the shack. You ought to go back to the shack and look where you are now. If you look at where you were when God picked you up out of the quagmires of your sin, my friend, to where you are now, it'll put a smile on your face and some joy in your heart, like Denny was talking about, even a little bit of praise upon your lips for the fact of where God has brought you from and what God has done with you and what God is doing with you now. Are you listening? Hallelujah to God. I believe the first thing that David looked back to was his transformation. That is his salvation. It had to go back to there. By the way, the reason that the young man didn't come this morning and join the church, he said, preacher, he said, the devil has been just running me around and around and around. He said, I was baptized, but I wasn't saved till about 4 years ago, and I've not been scripturally baptized since. But he said, the devil always runs me around and around and around and chases me and worries and aggravates me about my salvation experience. I want to say to you, my friend, I am so glad that I've got a place in time where I can go back to. Have I ever told you about it? September the 13th, 1970, in a little white block building in Scottsburg, Indiana. An old smut face cannot run me back any further than there when I had my first encounter with God, and God brought me out of the depths of sin and birthed me into the family of God and made me a child of Almighty God. I want you to listen. The Scriptures, as far as I can find, give no indication at all of when David had his salvation experience. None whatsoever. The first thing the Scripture records is David as a little ruddy-faced boy being anointed as king over Israel, going out into the valley of Elah and fighting with Goliath. But it does not say anything in the Bible about when David got saved. Now, I'm glad that I've got a point in the time that I can go back to. But I'm going to tell you what, friend. I'd rather know that I am than to have a spot in the time when I could go back to. It don't make a flipping bit of difference about the time and the place that you can go back to. What really matters, have you been to Calvary? Had your sins forgiven, been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, sanctified by the Word of God, sealed by the Holy Ghost, and are you living a separated life to the glory of God that will build a life that you can look back on and be pleased in your heart that you've lived it? I'd hate to live such a life that I, when I come time to die, that I'd look back over it with regret and be afraid of death and have a saddened heart over living my life like a heathen. Now, the Bible doesn't say anything about his transformation, when it was and where it was. But I'm going to tell you what it does say about it. It said in verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Now, I want all you young people to listen to your pastor for a minute. Oh, I don't know when he got saved, but honey, it wasn't a deathbed conversion. He did not wait till he was old and gray-headed to come to Christ. Sometime in David's youth, it's when he was gloriously saved by the grace of God. Now, I'm going to tell you what David's son said in Ecclesiastes. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Oh, yes, sir. You young people, look up here at Brother Hall. It would pay you well to come to God in an hour of your youth when your heart is tender. Oh, yes, sir. There'll come a day, my friend, if you harden your heart, that evil days will come upon you and it'll grow more and more difficult to win you to God. And if you're not careful, God will harden your heart and you'll go out into eternity lost and without God and without any hope. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We've got folks running around today, and they want to brag of how far into sin that they got before they got saved. Oh, and they'll brag about their years of drinking and carousing and doping, and then lead you to believe that that's a wonderful testimony. But I'm going to tell you what I'd rather see. I'd rather see some of you young people in here, my friend, while you're young, before you've been introduced to a can of beer, before you've been introduced to a joint of marijuana or a snort of crack, or before you've had time to go out on a one-party date and find yourselves in trouble with someone of the opposite sex and get all fouled up and messed up, I'd rather see you in your youth remember your Creator and have a testimony like David that I was saved, my friend, while I was a young man or a young woman, and have lived for God all of these years and built a life that has been worth living and it can be admired Y'all help me, I'd preach a little bit. That's right. Those evil days will come upon you, friend. Huh? He said, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's going to be some years drawn out. If you're not careful, you're going to say, I don't have any pleasure in God. I don't have any pleasure in the church. It was all right for me when I was a young boy. And they took me in a room and gave me cookies and Kool-Aid and told me about David and Goliath. But honey, I'm old enough now that I don't believe in the fairy tale anymore. I want to tell you young kids something. Brother, what I am preaching to you is not a fairy tale. It is reality. It's truth. It's real. Oh, yes. There's a real God, and there's a real Lord Jesus, and there is a real Mount Calvary, and there's a real heaven, and there's a real hell. And it would pay you, my friend, by the grace of God, to come to God in your youth and build a life from your youth to your old age that you can look back on and die with pleasure in your heart. Are you listening to me? So many kids say, I'll wait till I'm old. What are you going to do if you don't get old? What are you going to do if you go out to meet God before you get old? Oh, I won't do that, preacher. That's what a lot of them have said. Young man sat on the back row, Brother Nolan's years ago. Trembled and shook and quivered and shaked. Told Brother Nolan in the vestibule, preacher, I'll be back tonight and I'll make things right with God tonight. And before midnight, he put a gun between his eyes and blowed his brains out, and he's in hell today. Huh? Oh, and I'll tell you get old and the evil days come upon you. And then pride sets in. And oh, yes, and when pride sets in, it'll hinder the work of the Holy Ghost. You young girls and you young boys, remember thy Creator in the years of your youth. For you're young and tender-hearted, and you have not experienced the world and what the world has to offer. Come to God now and begin to build a life that you can appreciate, my friend, when you get down the road. Somebody said, oh, preacher, there's not too many people does that. I can name you four. What about Daniel? What about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Some of you don't even know who that is. That's more commonly known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And by the way, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is their worldly names. Their Jewish names and their God-given names is Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Huh? As young men, they were carried off into Babylon, into the world. They were led down into what is a type of the world. And Daniel refused, my friend, to take a portion of the king's meat, and the other three Hebrew boys refused to bow to that filthy rock and roll music that they were trying to play in that day and caused them to bow down and worship like a god. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if some of you right in here ain't listening to a little bit of Garth. I wonder what'd be on your radio some Monday morning or some Monday evening. If I just sneaked over at your house and sneaked in your vehicle and turned the radio on, I wonder what I'd hear. I bet it wouldn't be turn your radio on WSOF. You've already bowed. You're already listening to the garbage. And I'm going to tell you what it'll do. It'll drive a wedge between you and God. Oh, and you think, preacher, I've got her all ironed out. I know what I want out of life. Hey, you're a snotty-nosed little, snubby-nosed little brat that don't know what you need and don't even know what you want to have in life. You're not even old enough to pick your nose, much less blow it. I'm telling her right. You can just pop up and get mad at me all you want to. But I'm telling you, my friend, some of you is already caught up on that mess. I wouldn't be at all surprised if your car ain't full of CDs and tape of all that mess, Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, and all that mess. Oh, yeah. And all the little snuff-sucking egg suckers that go along with it. All you need to do is put some snuff between your cheek and gum, get you a black cowboy hat, and you ready! You think you read it. Rather than remembering God in your youth, you've forgotten God in your youth. Come on now. I hope somebody is. I'm going to tell you what it'll do for you. It'll spare you some heartaches in your old age. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I didn't always live for God. I've got two of my three children here tonight, and them two and the other one that called me by the phone today. I'll guarantee you they could look back at my life before I give her all to God. And there are some unpleasant situations that were there. Some times that I'd rather forget than I would to God, that they had never remembered them. But I'm going to tell you what getting saved as a young man or woman will do. It'll spare you a whole lot of heartache somewhere down the road. Oh, I think of the boys that's sitting in the jail. What about the 22-year-old boy that stole a car in Indiana, ran from the law down yonder in Princeton, flipped around in front of a fuel tank carrying tractor trailer, flipped the van 7 or 8 times, and he's laying in Bowling Green in a coma, 22 years old. And if he goes out to meet God, he'll go to hell from a hospital bed tonight. Come on now.
David could remember his transformation, can you? I'll tell you what it'll do.
It'll spare you, my friend, a whole lot of heartache. If you'll give God your life while you're young and begin to build on that spiritual life. There is one thing that David looked back on his transformation experience, his salvation experience. He could look back and say, I have had a continuing faith. My faith is something that has grown, that has increased. For if he hadn't have believed that, he'd have never said in verse 21, thou shalt increase my greatness. He's an old man and he's lived such a life of faith. He's saying, I'm an old man and God will yet deal with me in kindness and increase my prosperity in my old age. Amen. Folks don't know where in prosperity's at. Amen. Folks is trying to get a big piece of the pie. And my friend, if they just come to God and trust God, God would promote you and help you and bless you. I'm telling you right, and I'm not a health and wealther. God to help you. I believe the second thing he did now, they look back on in retrospect, not only was his transformation, but was his teachings. He said in verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Hey, it's necessary to be taught early. For the sooner you come to Christ, the less you'll have to unlearn. Oh, did you get a hold of that? I'm going to tell you, my friend, I come to Christ when I was 22 years old. But from 22 back to ground zero, buddy, there is yet a whole lot of myth and cobwebs up there in my little old mind that I'd rather forget. And I learned a whole lot more about the world than what I would have liked to have learned about the world. And now I'm trying to unlearn everything that I learned. And I'm finding that unlearning is a whole lot harder than learning, my friend. Or it's a whole lot easier than learning the real things of God. And I may have got that backwards, but you know what I mean. It's not easy to unlearn. It's there. You just remember it. Huh? If I'm not careful, hey, I can walk into the face of somebody like Jerry's, Denny's, and they'll be playing some of that old 50s music, and if I'm not careful, I'll find that foot talking about Peggy Sue. Yeah. Are you listening to me tonight? Somebody said, why, still there? While I'm trying to learn about Christ, I'm trying to unlearn what I learned before I met it. And it's not an easy thing to do. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, my friend, sometimes I find that 22 years of learning about the world crowds out the other 31 years of learning about Christ. Amen. Better listen to what I'm telling you tonight. But I'm trying to build a life. I'm trying to build my life such a way that the church can be proud of their pastor. My wife can be proud of her husband. My children can be proud of their daddy. My grandchildren can be proud of their grandpa.
Amen.
And I can pillow my head and die with a little bit of respect.
Amen.
Amen to God. Somebody said, how was he taught? Well, he didn't have much of the Bible, but he was taught by the Bible.
Amen.
He was taught by the prophets. Gad, the prophet, was his prophet. He was taught by preaching. Oh, yeah, some folks said, listen, they could get taught by preaching. He was taught by providence. God took him to the cave. God took him through perils and troubles and turmoil. And all through it, the providence of God led him. And providence taught him some very valuable lessons. And I'm telling you, providence teaches you some things if you let it. Providence, the prophets, and the precious Word of God. I want to say the third thing that he looked back at was some tears. I want everybody to listen right here. He looked back at his tears. There ain't no doubt about it. What man will not look back over his life? That's some bitter experience. What was it he said down here in this one verse? He said, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles.
Amen.
You don't have troubles, friend, without tears.
Amen.
Trouble always brings heartache, and heartache always brings tears. He looked back over it with some tears. I believe he had some real disappointments in his family.
Amen.
What was it he said in Absalom's rebellion? Oh, Absalom, Absalom! Would to God that it was me, Absalom. And I'm going to tell you, my friend, he didn't weep easily. That boy had greatly disappointed him.
Amen.
Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, there's some of you children in here. Some of you children, if you don't get right with God, there's coming a day when your mama and your daddy will lay on their bed at night and say, oh, so-and-so, oh, so-and-so. And tears in their eyes. Oh, I know what it is like to have a rebellious child that breaks your heart, my friend. And yet today, when I look back over those experiences, it brings trouble and reminds me of the trouble and brings tears in my eyes.
Amen.
I was coming up I-40 just the other day. Nobody knew it but me. It was all locked up in my mind. But I remembered the trip I made to Greenville, South Carolina. When Tammy Lynn, when our daughter went off down there to school and got all messed up, and I went down there and hadn't even know it, but she'd quit the school and moved out and was living down in a poor section of Greenville and was trying to work down there in some little old hamburger place. And my friend, like the prodigal son, would have eaten the stinking corn husk with the hogs and was rooting in the slop. And I tried my best to bring her home with me that night, and she would not come. Now, I'm going to tell you, I remember that lonely night traveling from Greenville, South Carolina, to Madisonville, Kentucky. And as I thought about just the memory of that brought tears to my eyes as I remembered the rebellion and the animosity toward me and her mother and the hatred that she apparently had in her heart. All over again, my heart was broken all over again. As I remember that. You know, we come home. I come home. Got in the next night. We was having our Christmas meal down at the grandma's kitchen. And come back from that meal heavy-hearted. Man, I'm talking about a mess. And pulled up that driveway at 35 Timmons Lane. The first thing I saw was a taillight. So that little old Chevrolet we called the Mouse. And I broke down and wept. I told Miss Hall. I said, she's home. I'm here to tell you, my friend. Your family will disappoint you. But it doesn't have to be that way. Some of you teenagers in here are bound to disappoint your parents. I could call on you and you could probably no doubt relate to the times that you've been disappointed.
Right.
How many times has Jerome been disappointed?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you who disappointments come from. The lost and the ungodly. For they know nothing about a holy and a righteous life, my friend. I'm sure that he brought tears when he thought about the deceitfulness of his friends. Old fifth-ribbed artist Joab conspired against him to overthrow the kingdom. Ahithophel, another real swell friend of his, How many times have you thought about friends and family? They kicked out on you. They don't understand, friend. They don't understand your holy nature. Your holy character. They don't understand your desires to serve God. And there's no doubt some of you in here tonight over family and friends have pillowed your head with tears in your eyes. But I'm going to tell you something in it all, buddy. He looked back over it and could pillow his head knowing that he had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Are you hearing me? No doubt he had tears in his eyes over the failures in his own life. I wonder how many times when David was an old man looked back to that night that he walked out across that roof and saw Bathsheba and said, "Oh my God, I'm talking about an old man." But he said, "Lord, if I'd have just went on to battle, I'd have rather went to battle and died than to happen. See, happen what has happened. I took a man's life, and all these years I've had blood on my hands. I committed adultery, and God said the only thing that ever disappointed God in my life was the occasion with Uriah the Hittite and with his wife Bathsheba in my transgression with her." Are you listening to me tonight, friend? I'm here to tell you, you look back on your life, my friend, at the failures and your own, the times that you have disappointed your own self. And would to God you'd have done it some other way. Oh, if I'd have just done it a little differently.
Right.
I look back at my pastoral experiences and some of the folks that's left the ministry under me. And many times I've wondered, Lord, if I'd have just done it another way. If I'd have just said it maybe with a little grace. If I'd have just seasoned my words with a little love. If I'd have just showed a little bit more kindness. If I'd have just done it some other way, Lord. Maybe I could have spared them. Maybe I could have salvaged them and saved them. Are you listening? Failure's in our own life, friend. How many times have we all fouled up? Made a mess out of something. I mean just a flat mess out of our life. Huh? Got in a financial mess and instead of waiting on God to pay it off, filed bankruptcy. Some folks have come to me in the ministry and say, "What do you think about filing bankruptcy?" I'd say, "I'd beg God for it. I'd do it. I'd beg God. I'd just beg Him. I'd plead. I'd beg.
Amen.
I'd wait." Oh, yes, sir. Fouling up! What about getting a hold of the wrong girl? What about getting a hold of the wrong man? Some of you, oh yeah, I'm telling you, some of you young men in here better wake up!
Amen.
You get the wrong girl, it might lead you down a pathway, my friend, that's going to have some bitter herbs to drag down at the end of it. Well, you talking about tears. What about some of the families in our very church that's got fouled up along those lines? I'm talking about heartaches and tears and trouble and turmoils and failures of life that could have been avoided had folks just listened to God. And it'll help some of you if you get off of your bullhead and listen to what God's trying to tell you. We all think this old man hates you, but I don't, man. I'm trying to save, spare you some real problems. Are you listening? Are you listening? That's right. You wind up getting the wrong. Hey, saw a woman down at the camp meeting out of Jefferson, Georgia, Jefferson Lighthouse Baptist Church. Her husband, 36 years old. And about a year ago, went to work one morning, died of a heart attack, left her and five kids behind. Somebody said, "What's she going to do?" I don't know. But if she ain't right careful, oh, she marry a man. I'm telling you what, she could get a hold of a genuine egg sucker. There's no man will love those kids like daddy does. She might get remarried, my friend, but she's a young woman. I'd say she'd be better off in the eyes of God to stay single where she's at. For God knows the whole, no, God don't put His approval on that. And I'm here to tell you, if she fouls up, and does marry, and if she gets the wrong man, oh, I'm telling you, her life can be a mess.
Amen.
You better pray about who you're going to marry.
Amen.
Are you listening? Tears. And I think about his thoughts. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? How can he look back at his thoughts? I'm talking about memories. In retrospect, David is looking back here. He's looking back at the righteousness of God and how high God is and how God's delivered him and brought him out and so on and so forth.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what, friend. He's got some memories. I want to read what I wrote down here. If a peculiar bliss is mine today, it is mine not today only, but so long as the memory of today shall endure. Now, if you didn't get a hold of that, I'm going to run it back by you. If God has blessed you in your life, my friend, that blessing is yours as long as a memory endures and a sound mind. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. Oh, no, I'm not crazy. Miss Sharon sitting right there brought Mrs. Hall and I an 8.5 by 11 picture frame. And for our wedding anniversary, it had a little got a little heart in it, got a little scripture in it. And Miss Hall found the only wedding picture we had, me and her, and her mom and daddy. She's standing there in that blonde hair looking up at me, and I'm looking down at her like this, smiling. And old Benny made us a picture, took the little picture and made an 8.5 to go in that, and Miss Hall put that in that picture frame and set it right there on the table right beside where I sat and drank my coffee and where I sat in the evening and where I'm going in just a few minutes.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Every now and then, about every time I sit down there, I look over at that pretty little blonde-headed girl. Lord, and I've got a picture to remind me of it. But if I never had a picture in an 8.5 by 11 frame, I've still got the picture of it stacked in the memory of my mind.
Right.
And Freddie, that wonderful day, that glorious day that I married Mrs. Hall, will be mine, my friend, as long as my memory endures. That Sunday morning there at Grace Baptist Church when I bolted out of that fifth pew, my friend, I'm telling you, just about as far gone down the tube of conviction as I could get, felt like if I didn't get to God, I'd fry in hell before I got home. I'm telling you, every time I drive by, I never fail. When I take somebody with me to see Pop, I drive by that little church and say, there's where I got in, hallelujah to God. I've got a memory, son, and the devil can drive me on, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Wonderful thoughts and memories. Jerry, what do you make you? Why do you think he testifies about 365 feet down? What a blessed memory. What a thought. And it's there. And it'll always be there as long as that memory endures. As long as his mind's sound. David's thoughts. He goes back and gets them thoughts. My daddy laying up there in that little old bed in that convalescent center. I don't know how he is now. He's been dead all the place. He used to walk in up there and every time he'd walk in, Gary, he said, you know, they sold my church. I said, I know it, Pop. They sold it. Tore it down. Not nothing of it left. I said, I know it, Pop. They tore it down. He said, well, I can remember me and Herman and Chester singing in there and Mildred playing the piano. He'd start going all the way. My brother took a picture of him and Uncle Chester and Uncle Herman standing on the platform at the little Methodist church singing a song. And I can just about tell you what they're singing. I've been redeemed and so have I. I've been redeemed, and so have I. I've been redeemed, and so have I. I've been redeemed, and so have I. And I can hear Uncle Chester. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I can hear him yet today. I've heard him as a boy. My daddy could remember that. Oh, and that's all he talked about. That's all it talked about. It talked about eating fatback and green beans and boiled beef and all the food that Mama used to make for him. He, you know what he told Donnie the other day? He said, just one more time. Just one more time. I want to go back down to that little four-room house on Hall's Corner Road. Said, Donnie, get me there one more time. Donnie said, Daddy, what do you want to do down there? He said, I want to sit at the same place, at the same table where Mary always sits. And I want to say the same words that I said when I blessed my food every time I eat. Oh, memories are blessed to me, son. When I die, I want some memories that are blessed and holy. I don't want memories that are full of... And thought about his testimony. No doubt about it. Verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Amen. There's his testimony. God taught him, but he took what he was taught and used it as a testimony. Let me ask you something, my friend. Do you really give a ragtag flip about your testimony? You care about what people think about you? I mean, you want to have the testimony you want folks to... Look at you and say, well, he's dishonest. He's crooked. He's a thief. He's a cheater. He don't pay his bills. He's cruel to his children. He's a mean man. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, I'd hate to have the testimony that I was a child molester. I'd hate to have the testimony that I was a murderer.
Right.
Or a thief or a gambler. Right. I'd hate to have the testimony, my friend, that I was a sodomite. Oh, my, are you hearing me? But I'm going to tell you, I'd hate to have the testimony that I was a church rebel that reared up against a man of God. I'd hate to carry a testimony to my grave that I was a troublemaker at the house of God all my life. There is not one time I've ever back-talked one of my pastors. Never. Are you listening to me? I've never said, preacher, I believe I'd do it this way. Preacher, you're wrong. Bless God, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. I want to die, friend, with that kind of a testimony. I think he looked back not only his testimony, but his treasures. Now, he had some kids that didn't make it, but he had some that made her to the other side. What treasures? Look here. I want you to hear me well. David is an old man. He's getting ready to die when he wrote this psalm. He never said one thing about his wealth. Never said one thing about his worldly possessions, what he had acquired. But he bragged about God and how good God had been to him all of his life. Yes, sir, buddy. That's his wonderful name. He had some treasures. And then he was... I'll close with this. Old and gray-headed. And waiting on the trumpet. I'm just waiting on the trumpet. Now, Brother Steve. That's right. And I hope it sounds. You don't know what's going to happen. I heard Brother Rain say the other night, had all of his grandchildren around him. He said he may have to bury one of his children or one of his grandchildren. He said, I hope I don't. He said, I hope they bury me. I'm the same way. I don't want to bury them. I want them to bury me. Somebody said, oh, it'll be hard on them, preacher. Well, it'd be hard on them, yeah, but not nearly as hard as it would be on me to bury one of them. I want them to bury me. That's right. I'm ready. I'm waiting on the trumpet, folks. Oh, yes, sir. And I want to, hey... And like I said, there's some memories back there that I'd rather forget. There's some things I'd rather forget. But I'm going to tell you, I've tried to build a life. I've tried to build a life that I can die with when it comes time and not worry about what's going to be said about me when I'm gone. I want folks to say, he served God. I want my kids to say, Daddy served God. He loved God. He loved the church, loved the house of God, loved people. Tried to help them. I hope I can get old enough to look back over my life and have it built. You know, when we get there, we'll be like Paul and say, I've run my, I've finished my, I've kept the faith, I've finished the course.
I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I want to run my race, folks, and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter joy. And while I'm running it, I want to build a life that is pleasing to God. Let's stand together.